Hi, my name is Andy Genn. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with finding my significance in others, fears of abandonment, and finding comfort in food rather than God. Hi. I was born in Southeast Texas to a very young set of parents. Mom and Dad were 21 and 22, and I was joining a two-year-old brother. When I was only 2 years old, my mother decided to leave my father after discovering that he was cheating on her with her best friend. I believe the absence of my father, even at such a young age, began an ugly cycle, a cycle of my fearing abandonment and seeking my value in relationships with men. My mother, believing that she was incapable of parenting alone, dropped my brother and me off at my grandparents' house. She needed a break and began a two-year tour of the country in an attempt to find herself. This likely furthered my feelings of abandonment. If neither mom nor dad were able or willing to stay with me, would anyone ever be? Fortunately for me, though, my grandparents were willing to pick up where mom had left off. While I don't remember much from that period of time, given my age, I know that my grandparents devoted themselves to the church and to us, although I believe they did so out of obedience rather than love. Based upon the air of resentment felt in later years, I don't believe there was a great deal of joy involved. They'd struggled raising their own two children, and now in their later years found themselves with two more children in their care. When I was four, my mother returned to retrieve my brother and me. She'd met the man that would become my first stepfather and was pregnant with my twin brothers. The four of us moved to Colorado because during her country tour, she'd found a love for the mountains. Leaving my grandparents behind was difficult, but each summer I would return to visit them. In hindsight, I believe that I craved the stability that my grandparents' home offered. They weren't warm and fuzzy people and seemed to struggle to show affection. However, because the environment within mom's home had become abusive, both physically and emotionally, I believe they agreed to take my brother and me and each other in each summer as a break for us, if not for my mother. It was my grandparents that first exposed me to Christ. They were strong in faith and were members of the local church. I can recall the Sunday school bus picking me up on Sunday mornings, and that's a very loving and positive memory for me. While in Colorado, my twin brothers were born. This meant that mom was now juggling four children under the age of eight. The heightened stress resulted in increased abuse. Often one of us would take a beating for burning the breakfast toast or wetting the bed, resulting in an incredibly stressful and unstable environment. When I was in first grade, I went to the school counselor's office to report mom's abuse of us, but nothing became of it. It was 1976, and society wasn't as reactive to that type of news as they are now. The physical abuse continued for years. Her marriage was falling apart, and it seemed as if her only outlet was to beat or yell at us. I don't have any memories from those years. Well, I have a couple, and the two or three that I do recall all seem to involve food being thrown and a lot of screaming and crying. At 8 years old, during a summer visit to my grandparents' home, I accepted Christ as my Savior and was baptized. While living in Colorado with Mom, she'd begun insisting on church attendance, but often abuse was delivered while dressing for church or after returning from church, so it was very confusing to me. I couldn't grasp what it was that Christ had to offer when I was living in such a volatile environment. When I was around 10, my mother divorced her second husband. Al had been the father of my twin brothers and had been a dad to me and my older brother in the absence of our own. I was heartbroken over his departure. He was the only father I'd ever known. And I was jealous of my younger brothers because he continued his relationship with them despite being thrown out of the house. It was then that Mom decided to relocate us to Enid, Oklahoma to follow a new boyfriend. This man abused alcohol and used marijuana in front of us on a daily basis and was physically abusive to my mother. I don't recall much of those years other than a lot of yelling, hitting, and crying. I do remember one night when Mom and Al were fighting in the living room, which was adjacent to my bedroom. I could hear him throw her against the wall, but I couldn't do anything about it. I can still feel the feeling of total helplessness today. I was only 13 years old, and I know now that to interfere would have likely caused his abuse to shift to me, but I still felt guilty for not having been able to help her. When I was entering high school, I decided that I wanted to live with my grandmother again. My older brother had moved down with her a couple of years earlier. She'd recently remarried after my grandfather's death and wasn't around much. This freedom afforded me the time to first try out alcohol. I didn't enjoy the flavor much, but the effect I loved. I soon found a love for anything that would numb the pain. This meant that little was off limits. I became sexually active at 14, started smoking pot regularly at 15, and began viewing porn as an escape. I would occasionally attend youth group, but I wasn't ever involved, nor did I feel connected in any way. Because I was in such a small town, it was as if everyone knew everyone else, but only enough to have something to talk about. I never witnessed authentic relationships, and so it was easy for me to walk away from church the first chance I got. After graduation, I attended a few semesters of college. I followed Mom to several cities across the country. She was a flight attendant and moved regularly. She met and married her third husband, again an abusive alcoholic. I knew that I didn't want to be there with her. I just didn't know where else to go, so I continued to follow her. I had sexual relationships with men and continued to view pornography. I smoked marijuana often and tried several other street drugs along the way. I was looking for a good time. I was absolutely desperate over the feelings of worthlessness I was feeling inside. I began to use food as a means to comfort myself. I'd never been a disciplined person, so exercise was foreign to me. I'd been active in cheerleading in high school, and the lack of activity in college and thereafter really took a toll on my weight. I began to gain weight at a rapid pace. It was during this time while living in Colorado that I met my husband, the father of my son. We met when I was 19. He was 38. He had never been married, had no children, and loved to drink and smoke pot, which was right up my alley. Within 2 months of dating him, I found out that I was pregnant. Without so much as a discussion, I decided that I would have an abortion. I didn't ask for his input, nor was I willing to discuss my decision with him. I was so far from the Lord at this point in my life that I didn't experience any shame or guilt over what I was about to do. I went on to have the abortion, walking past the protesters that October day. I've long since accepted that Christ has forgiven me for this sin. Despite this action being against everything Christ wants for me, I'm able to live without shame or guilt thanks to the sweet Lord's grace through knowing that Christ gave his own life to pay the penalty for my sin. I went on to marry Steve and gave birth to my son in 1994. Once I held Doug in my arms, I knew that my life had changed forever. Suddenly, drinking and drugs weren't my focus. I needed a good job, a nice home, and a positive environment to raise our son. I was still so lost and confused, though. I was miserable in my marriage. I went to therapy off and on throughout the years, just seeking some fix. At no point did I allow the Lord to speak to my heart. I was so strong-willed and bullheaded that I just kept trying to control everything myself. After 10 years with Steve, I decided that I couldn't be married to him any longer. I encouraged Steve to attend marriage counseling with me, but he refused. This made me feel even more worthless, as if keeping me in his life wasn't worth the effort to him. I was also concerned for Doug's well-being. Would he see Steve's alcohol and drug abuse and grow up to be just like him? The fright of parenting alone was certainly there, but at the time, I felt as if the move was necessary to save Doug from becoming like Steve. After the divorce, Doug and I moved to Dallas. Fortunately, the job market was booming, and I found work quickly and easily. By this time, my use of alcohol and drugs as a means of escape had ceased years before with the birth of Doug. But the need to stuff my pain with food, having inappropriate relationships with men, and escaping the moment through porn continued on. I'd been in Dallas for a couple of years before giving church some thought. I was seeking a social outlet and felt that Doug would benefit from the activities. Even then, I was in denial as to how much I needed Christ in my life, but know now that Christ was starting to pull me back to him. I tried out several local churches, but none of them spoke to me. It was during a non-secular counseling session that my therapist suggested that I focus on spirituality. A well-rounded person is not only emotionally and physically healthy, but spiritually healthy as well, she said. A friend of mine had recently attended a Watermark Christmas Eve service, and she called to tell me that she had found our church. I attended my first service on a Sunday in January 2004 and felt as if I'd found home and immediately joined and became a member. Within the month, I learned that a new ministry was starting up for single parents. The timing couldn't have been more perfect. God had really laid out the groundwork for my return to him. I became very active in the single parent family ministry, also known as SPF. The SPF ministry is one way that God began to show me his wants for my life. Hebrews 10:24-25 states, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Meanwhile, I was still struggling with the resentment and bitterness caused by my abusive childhood. My relationship with Mom had never been good, and I often joked at how nice it was to have put 750 miles between us with the move to Texas. A close friend of mine from SBF had suggested that I give Celebrate Recovery a try in June of 2006. I quickly learned that everybody had a story. Some stories seemed worse than mine, others not nearly as bad. What stuck with me, though, was that regardless of the depth of abuse or destruction in our lives, Christ met us exactly where we were. I found comfort in sharing my struggles with this small group of women. While working through the inventory process, I'd given a lot of prayer to my relationship with Mom. I wasn't sure how I could ever forgive someone of so much hurtful behavior. I wanted to trust in Christ's timing. I'd just been trying to control my life for so long that I couldn't quite let it go. It was during the amends process that the Lord opened a door and began healing my heart. In Colossians 3:13, God calls us to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. I'd been open with Mom about my attendance at CR. She knew the foundation of the program and was excited and hopeful that I would find something through the process that would bring me some peace. It was a Monday night after returning home that my phone rang. It was Mom calling to find out how my inventory had gone. I don't recall exactly how the conversation went, but it was absolutely beautiful and so full of God's love. I was able to voice to her the hurt and pain that her abuse had caused me. I also needed to ask her forgiveness. In my resentment and bitterness, I'd said many hateful things to her. Even though I was a child victim of abuse, nothing could excuse the behavior I'd exhibited as an adult. I often would use family holiday time to remind her of her wrongdoings, just to make sure she remembered. My words had been malicious and hateful. She was so gracious in offering forgiveness to me that I was overwhelmed. God had changed both her heart and mine. He opened the door for a conversation that not only allowed healing, but also an opportunity for me to share what Christ's desires are for her. She'd been carrying the burden of guilt and shame over her abusive behavior for years. I don't believe that she's accepted God's grace yet, but I try to remind her every time I get a chance to. Since that conversation, our relationship has never been better. I enjoy her company, and I appreciate her ability to grandparent my son and nephews. I'm grateful that she's able to have that type of relationship with them. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, I would have never thought it possible. It's only through Christ's love for me and his willingness to show me what forgiveness looks like that allowed for this change in our relationship. Since then, I have reconnected with my father. Even though we have seen each other several times since, our relationship is still distant. I learned that he has struggled with alcohol and drug abuse his entire life. He's in recovery right now and does have a relationship with Christ. I'm grateful for that and continue to pray for his struggles. I'm thankful that the Lord has placed this man back into my life and hope that our relationship will continue to grow. My struggle with food remains ever present. In February last year, I was given the opportunity to have gastric banding, a less invasive surgical method to help with weight loss. I was blessed by friends who are willing to financially assist me with the out-of-pocket costs. Such a blessing. My community of single moms joined together to make sure that my son was well-fed during the strenuous pre- and post-op diets. I could feel their daily prayers for me. I'm so grateful to have friends who stepped up to help me during this time. This past year, I've made some positive changes in my eating and exercise habits. 2008 brought with it a 60-pound weight loss. I praise the Lord for every one of those pounds gone and every pound I've still yet to lose. I continue to struggle with fearing rejection and seeking my significance in men. I'm pleased to say that I'm struggling well, though. I'm surrounded by friends who love me enough to ask the tough questions and call me out on my negative behavior. I can't encourage you enough to work these 12 steps, to be diligent in your walk with the Lord, trusting in him to change your heart and the hearts of those you've hurt. I've been truly blessed in the process, and I'm excited to hear of the blessings he bestows on all of you. The work is tough for sure. It continues to be even after the official group is finished. But Christ is so capable and willing. Through him, we have the power to continue living the steps one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share my story of grace.